You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a very good Thursday morning to you. Mike McNamara for Thursday edition of All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Let me tell you what we're going to do today. And we're going to put my phone on silent is the first thing we're going to do. I'm dealing with a little traffic in my studio today that I'm not normally dealing with. All right. We're going to talk transition. It is Transition Thursday. So from Lead Star, Angie Morgan's going to join us. She's been on the program before, and you know her husband Matt, who you've heard on this program a few times. But Angie is a former Marine officer, and I'm going to fix that today. By the way, I meant to do it yesterday, but anyway, I should restart this. Hold on, let me do this again. It's called a do-over, just so you know. All right. Here we go. This begins the do-over. Can't happen soon enough, let me tell you. All right. We'll play the last part of the Washington Post. Here comes the do-over.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
And a very good Thursday morning to you, Mike McNamara, for a Thursday edition of All Marine Radio Over. All Marine Radio, the do-over version.
Yeah.
Never be afraid to do it over. Okay. So let me tell you what we're going to do today. It is Thursday, so we talk transition. So we're going to talk to Angie Morgan, former captain, United States Marine Corps, public affairs officer, married to Matt, who you've heard on the program, and Angie's been on the program before, and she is involved with a company called Lead Star. She's a Spark person, and she does consulting, and she does a lot of stuff with leadership. So had her on before in a very brief visit, too brief to be exact, to talk about transitioning, you know, do's and don'ts, what translates well to the civilian world that you learn to practice in the military, and what doesn't. And so wanted to kind of expand on all that stuff today, as well as expand on her idea of something that she talks about, which is Spark. What is that? And just the differences between what we would know as leadership in the Marine Corps and management and business, you know, and I would say, you know, 80% of it is translates right across. There's some delivery options that aren't available in the civilian world that are available in the Marine Corps. And we're all supposed to be smart enough to figure that stuff out. That's kind of the easy part of it, if you will. Is realizing what your surroundings are. But anyway, Angie makes us smart about stuff like that, so very cool to have on and enjoy that. And then after Angie comes on at about 8 o'clock Pacific time, we're going to talk to a woman that I met yesterday, and her name is Jennifer Carrazzo. I met her because she kept liking stuff that I put out on Twitter. I'm like, who is this? What is this Sugar Bear Foundation thing? So it's a foundation. It's her husband's call sign. He was a Cobra pilot, he was killed in action in Afghanistan in 2010, actually while I was there. And I remember the incident. So anyway, I messaged her, and I said, hey, who are you? And she responded, and I said, hey, come on All Marine Radio and talk about what you guys do. So the Sugar Bear Foundation helps other nonprofit organizations devoted to veterans and their families raise money. So that's what she does. So we're gonna talk about first of all you're gonna meet her, a very cool woman, and she's involved in a ton of things. She's involved in the Navy's Gold Star program. She's involved with she mentors with the Travis Manion Foundation. So she does a lot of stuff, speaks, and then, you know, does her own good work. So very cool. So you'll get a chance to meet Jennifer Carrazzo. So and then the Gunner will join us if he's feeling up to it. Hopefully he will be. So there you have it. A little bit of a program on a Thursday. So thanks for making this part of your day. In the news, you know, I have to tell you, I'm a little bit disturbed by the whole Jeff Sessions. You know, this guy's supposed to be the Attorney General, and I don't have all the facts in yet. My investigators are still out compiling them. But so you testify at a contentious hearing, and it was a strategy, hey, don't volunteer that you met with the Russian guy, because that will kill you. You're already hanging by a thread. Okay? We think we can get you through. So we're managing this thing, right? So don't volunteer that, even though we all know it's the right thing to do. Is that the way it happens? It just looks nasty. And he's supposed to be the guy who enforces the law. So I'll withhold judgment because, as I said, my investigation is not complete. My investigators are still out compiling evidence. So I just have to tell you, it's just a bit greasy to me. And that guy's not supposed to be greasy. So anyway, that in the news today. And let's see, what else was in the news I wanted to talk about? And then there's another story that broke in the New York Times late yesterday afternoon about people in the Obama administration spreading intelligence across the State Department, across the Justice Department, to the Senate, you know, because they felt that the Trump administration would try to bury what their contacts with Russians that had been developed. Now, there's this very extremely long story in the New York Times. And then at the end of it, at the end of the story, I want to say in probably one of the last two paragraphs of the article, and the headline is, Obama aides left a trail of intelligence on Russian efforts. The last one of the last two paragraphs says, and there's no indication that anything nefarious was discussed. So it's like, wait a minute. Isn't this like the, you know, isn't this like the cart is in front of the horse? Shouldn't there be at least some accusation that something was done wrong before we blow it up and then say, yeah, well, you know, we don't know what they talked about. We just know that they met. Anyway, I don't know. I don't know. I continue to be somewhat confounded by the media as they go about doing whatever they're attempting to do. Undo his presidency, continue this the burn it down event that we've had going on for the last few months. So I don't know. I don't know what to make. Is it good? Was it well-intentioned people who have legitimate concern? You know, I'm not sure. And these the people, you know, and then the article goes on to state the people that the Russian intelligence, that American intelligence intercepted calls on were, you know, had business contacts in Russia. So it's just, you know, it's like, so might these have been legitimate discussions, you know, about the future What is the nefarious part of all of this? So, I don't know. It's just unseemly. And again, I think it. I was on the Sunday talk shows. The question of special prosecutor came up, and even former President George W. Bush was asked. He said, "You know, I don't think it takes a lot to get to a special prosecutor. I don't think this is anywhere near." And he said, "I think that you have the Congress's oversight function." He said, "And they should be allowed to do it." So anyway, I guess, the Sessions thing irritates me. So now all of a sudden you get confirmed, and now you're right back in the spotlight again because of something that you didn't do. That I think the rest of us would have said, that probably bears scrutiny. Probably should have disclosed that. So I'm irritated. Anyway, good morning to you. We're going to get unirritated and talk about transitions here in a few minutes with Angie Morgan. So good morning to you. And it's the second day of March, 2017, a Thursday. United States Marine Corps Band plays the national anthem. Today.
Country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country.
My mood barometer, which is how I feel about that quote on any given day, completely did not mean that. In the spirit of Jeff Sessions, yeah, did not mean it. Come on. What are we, juveniles here? What are we, the ruling class, going to actually go out and, you know, try to make a difference? Risk the franchise? No, we're here for the gravy train. We're not here to make a difference. It's the schmucks that do that. Yeah, how about that for a little cynicism? I know. He got his PT boat split in half by a destroyer and saved some guys. He had to. He was in command of the PT boat. He's the one that screwed it up. Yeah. That's why he was doing all that swimming, dragging people, no shit. He screwed it up. How do you get your PT boat run over by a destroyer? What the hell, man? Destroyer? Come on, that thing's several hundred feet long. Anyway, I guess visibility was poor that night. We'll check the weather around the Marine Corps. Currently 48 in Quantico, cloudy. Camp Lejeune, 56 in cloudy. Granbury, Texas, 50 and partly cloudy. Up in North Dakota, 4 degrees above zero. Boom! They were in the 30s last week. They're headed back to the 40s. Yeah, talk about a whipsaw. 44 degrees above zero and cloudy. 29 Palms, 49 and sunny. Camp Pendleton, partly cloudy, 52. Camp Smith, back to normal, cloudy, dark, and 73. Okinawa, a little bit cooler, cloudy and 56. Fallujah, cloudy, dark, 67, warming up in Iraq. And then in the Costa Mesa, Newport Beach area of Southern California, partly cloudy, 53, on our way to the 70s today, thank God. Unbelievable. Yeah, having this weather like we're barbarians or something. What the hell? This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at BattleMug.com, maker of the, that's right, the Battle Mug. It starts as a 10-pound block of aluminum. After milling, machining, and anodization, it's ready for you to make your own top-quality product. Big, mean-looking thing. Picatinny rails on the side, M16 handle to carry it around with. And then if you're going to the field, scope, laser, light on it. If it's in your office, emblems, flags, and other things on it. So it's a mug for all seasons, perfect for any commemorative event, farewells, promotions, retirements, and special occasions like birthdays, anniversaries. And it is truly a one-of-a-kind item. There isn't another one out there, I promise you. Check out their entire line of products at BattleMug.com. Enter the promo code Marine for 15% off. BattleMug is a veteran-owned and operated company, and the product's made entirely in the United States of America. Boom. Yeah. That's the way we roll. All right. We're going to take a quick break when we come back. Angie Morgan, Captain, former type, United States Marine Corps, joins us.
All I can say about MilitaryByOwner.com is, wow, I listed my house on your website for only 2 weeks in a tough rental market, and now my house is about to get rented. I will definitely recommend you guys to everyone in the military. Thank you.
Are you located near a military base? Advertise with Military by Owner for optimum exposure to the military community. Military by Owner has experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base for the past 15 years. MilitaryByOwner.com, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer, but I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly the special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. With folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in the crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Minutes after 7 on a Thursday. I'm having trouble talking, which is a problem in this business. Joining me from the lovely state of Michigan is Angie Morgan. Angie, good morning. How are you?
Great. I'm just enjoying that Vanessa Carlton. I think that's it, right?
No.
Who is that?
I'll give you one more guess.
Well, there's Carlos Santana in there, right?
Carlos Santana.
And?
Up front singing.
I think it's Vanessa Carlton.
Michelle Branch. You were close.
Oh, okay. Close. I don't even know how or where I got that name from. Fun. How are you?
No, I'm good. No, you know what's great about his music, though? I mean, he has all those different people front for him. And so, I mean, his albums sound very diverse. So it's, I think he's a very cool guy to listen to. So anyway, I'm good. Wanted to have you back on, and as we continue discussing transitions and Marines on management, after our conversation, you talked about kind of the basic do's and don'ts and understand your, hold on, let me stop. Angie, you were born and raised where?
Northern Michigan.
Northern
small town called Kalkaska. It's
okay.
The trout capital of Michigan. Fun fact.
Tell the rest of that. This is the kicker. Your sister...
My sister was the trout queen. I myself did not run for that beauty pageant. I did other things in my life.
You would have been Miss, you know, the trout queen had you run?
You know, I think I had a shot. I wouldn't have known what to do in the talent competition, so I think I was really struggling with that one.
There you go. All right, so, and then you find your way to the Marine Corps.
Yeah.
A public affairs officer got out in?
10 days before 9/11.
Wow.
Different time.
Yeah.
Can you even imagine?
No. No, yeah, that was, in fact, that was crazy times. I mean, changed everybody's life. And started talk about getting out and what you've done since then. And then I want to talk about Spark. So tell me what you've done since you got out of the Marine Corps.
Well, I left active duty, and it took some time to find an opportunity. I was living in Los Angeles, and fortunately, a few of my friends had shared with me that pharmaceutical sales was a good opportunity.
Right.
And I actually landed the easiest job in pharmaceutical sales in L.A. I was selling Viagra in Beverly Hills. So you can imagine.
By the truckload.
Get much easier than
did you have a trailer? Did you drive around with a trailer behind your car?
No, actually, I had a really fancy bag and carried samples with me wherever I went.
Hello.
But it was an interesting time. I think I moved from Hawaii to L.A., and it was very much a culture shock. Talk about, I can't think of two more different cultures that you could go from. Even like so, Hawaii and California and the Marine Corps and pharmaceutical sales. It was just a very interesting time. But fortunately, my job wasn't too difficult, so I had a lot of time to think about the differences between these two worlds. And there was no absence of managers in the company that I was working for, yet there was a huge absence of leaders. And I guess I assumed, and maybe you felt the same way, that other people outside of the military had been developing their leadership skills. Like, they knew simple things like lead by example, or, you know, concepts related to service-based leadership, or, you know, even be tactically and technically proficient, some of those great troop leading skills that we developed. But I was disappointed. And, again, it's not that my managers were bad people. They just didn't get that foundational leadership development experience.
All right, so you see that, and then what do you do?
Well, I quit my job. And part of it, too, is I'd married a Marine, and we were getting transitioned to the East Coast, and I couldn't take my career with me.
Damn it.
But I thought maybe it was just this opportunity. So then I started working for another pharmaceutical and kind of seen experience. And so I left that opportunity, too, to find another job in pharmaceutical. So after three jobs in the pharmaceutical industry within a four-year period, it dawns on me that maybe it's not the company. Maybe it's me. And, or maybe there's something that's lacking that I think others could benefit from. And so during this time, I was communicating frequently with now my business partner and co-author, Courtney Lynch. We served together in the Marine Corps. She was having similar experiences related to this lack of leadership knowledge. Again, there were some really great people we were working with and around, but just overwhelmingly, a lot of managers not equipped to lead in these business environments. So we decided to write a book on leadership, and we would spend just our weekends and our evenings talking about these concepts. And eventually we put a proposal together. We floated it out to a few literary agents to help represent us. We finally found one. It was really serendipitous. And he told us flat out, hey, listen.
Hold on.
What?
This is All Marine Radio. You have to explain what serendipitous is. What are you, crazy? Drop that one on us and just, like you're doing a drive-by?
It was good fortune. How's that?
Okay. There was good fortune. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. Continue.
And then they said, you know, nobody's going to buy your book. No publisher will buy your book if you don't have anything else with it. Like, who knows about you, Angie and Courtney? And we're like, no one. And he said, yeah, you have to build a business around some of your teachings. And we were both fortunate that our husbands were employed at the time and they could front us some money so we could start this endeavor. So we started a business, and that helped sell our book. And 14 years later, here we are.
Wow. There you go. All right, so now we know about you. That's what I wanted to do. A little thumbnail. Okay, so now that we know about you, talk to us about, explain Spark to me. Because everything that I read, everything I see, I'm looking at Lead Star, and I see Spark. How to lead yourself and others to greater success. And then there's a jar with this exploding thing inside of it that I assume is the spark.
I think so.
Okay. All right. So
I think your interpretation of our cover art is accurate.
All right. So it is an exploding thing. So talk to us. What is Spark?
Well, first, I'm really happy that everywhere you go, you're seeing Spark. That means our marketing team is
there. You go. I was going to say somebody's on their job.
Well, don't you remember when you were in the Marines that, or even now for that matter, just people you engage with, some people just stand out. They just do. They're the people you want on your team. They're the people who can captivate and electrify the groups that they're a part of. They just, maybe they're a little bit more outgoing, or they just are really effective at getting the job done. And so Spark describes those types of people, those standout people that are just valued and you want to be with and around them. And it's not because they're demonstrating mysterious behaviors. Actually, they're really most likely demonstrating the disciplines related to leadership to a higher level. And so through Spark, we wanted to take the mystery out of these go-to Sparks and give professionals a roadmap, if you will, to develop and cultivate these behaviors within themselves so they can be more influential in their own life right. and in the lives of others. And you'll see all throughout Spark that it is powered by this military, specifically Marine Corps, leadership experience, because that's where we learned how to be leaders. And we wanted to build that into the message that we were sending, because we think that, I don't know how the Marine Corps did it or who was the brainchild or if there was one brainchild, but the way that they develop leaders is better than any other organization out there.
Now, are you saying that because you are one? So you're like, that's kind of self-affirming, and or what's your criteria for that? Because
so bias plays a role, right?
I respect you for saying that. All right.
But after going around different academic institutions, and so I got my MBA from the University of Michigan, which touts itself for the leadership program. And I will say that I learned more from the Marine Corps leadership, just the simplicity of it, but the effectiveness of it, than I did in a graduate-level education. And going to different academic institutions, especially now with my role at LeadStar, I feel very qualified to say nobody does it better than the Marine Corps. Now, I don't think that the Marine Corps had perhaps the academic rigor at the forefront of its development, but the instincts put into boot camp, Officer Cannon School, the basic school around the developmental experience, it's genius to me. So I say that because I went through it, but I also think after being in this field and just observing how the Marine Corps in particular does it, it's pretty impressive.
Okay, I want to go back here for a second. You talked about the Marine Corps probably doesn't have the, how did you phrase that, academic, but it had the
yeah.
experiential component. Interesting. Interesting. The my guest this morning is best-selling New York Times author, and her name is Angie Morgan. She's a former captain in the Marine Corps and currently a consultant, and she is the book called Spark. Is that it?
That's it.
So we're talking about Spark, and her organization is a company called LeadStar, and it's a leadership development firm. So if you have any questions or comments, certainly shoot us an email, a text message, and we'll pass them along to Angie. So I know what you're saying, people that have a spark. I have a daughter, and people constantly say that about her. I had a neighbor who I didn't even know come down the street and say, you know, your daughter has a sparkle about her. I said, I know. Sometimes it's a bit of an issue, but it
yeah.
is. I mean, wherever they go, and it's sometimes it's a little bit of a smile. It's a little bit of personality. It's a bit about the way they greet you. It's all of that wrapped into one. So a lot of that is innate. Okay. How do you if you don't have a spark, can you develop one?
I love that you bring up the concept of a lot of it is innate, because the science behind your ability to influence is kind of interesting, I think it is. And so we're born with about 30% of our leadership abilities, and these include concepts like extroversion, intellect, charisma. But the remaining 70% you can develop. And the way that the researchers came up with a 30-70 thing mm-hmm. was that they looked at identical twins separated at birth to look at the nature-nurture relationship about how well you can influence. So I think that's kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And so you think about then what the Marine Corps does. They focus on those 70% traits that they know they can develop in influence within, you know, anyone who comes in their doors. And not they can't absolutely do it 100% of the time, because some people just don't take, right? They just don't take to the organization. It just doesn't work. It's not a good fit. But that's where they focus on those 70%. So your daughter, she probably, hey, congratulations, Max. She was, like, gifted. She maxed out that 30%.
Oh, my God. Don't tell her that. No,
well, I'm not going to tell her that. You can.
No, I
you
do. I
tell
her that.
That.
I tell her that that's a gift. And your ability, the the quality where people come to you and give them access to you means that you have a chance to influence them. And you should use that gift in a positive way. And, yeah, maybe you could be one of the few, one of the proud. Dad, I'm not doing that. And so talk to me about – let me read you an email. Hey, Mac, I'm curious why you would challenge that the Marine Corps creates the best leaders. I almost spit my coffee out, for God's sakes.
I was kind of surprised myself, but well, I appreciate you not drinking the Kool-Aid all the time.
Well, I've been around long enough. We're not perfect. No, let me just tell you, I do believe that. But let me tell you what I heard yesterday from a woman by the name of Jennifer Carrazzo. Her husband was killed in action in Afghanistan. She's the founder of an organization that helps other organizations raise money. It's called, his call sign was Sugar Bear. And so it's called the Sugar Bear Foundation in honor of her late husband. She was telling me that she's involved in different Gold Star organizations. She said, we discuss things, and I hear them, and you would never hear the discussion in the Marine Corps. I said, really? She says, the culture of the Marine Corps is so different. I hear these things, what, you know, about people being forgotten about, and she said, you know, I have people that check on me all the time. He was killed in 2010, and they are still a part of my lives. Our kids are still a part of their lives. And she said, you know, I'm blessed that, you know, she said, but I didn't, you know, you don't know until you kind of get out there in the wider world and you see that. And so it's very interesting. Now she, you know, she's not a Marine, she married one, and you know, and now she's doing, you know, 501c3 work in other, you know, with other organizations. And she said sometimes it's jaw-dropping what some people deal with that we don't because of the difference in the culture. And she said it is different. And go ahead.
What I find interesting, and this is, again, this isn't a scientific study, it's purely observation, but you will find more Marine Corps tattoos permanently inked on military service members' bodies than you will any other service. And I don't go around to different businesses and observe similar phenomena. I've never met a professional who's had their corporate logo tattooed on their body. This doesn't happen. But the Marine Corps does. And there's something interesting about a culture that cultivates that type of lifelong loyalty to its employer.
The change is forever.
Mm-hmm.
And the tattoo certainly might be too.
The yeah.
All right, Angie, let's develop this idea about. Let me say, let's just say I'm a middle of the road leader. I certainly have I did pretty well in the Marine Corps, rising to the rank of, you know, captain, major, as an officer, sergeant, staff sergeant, as an enlisted Marine, and then I got out, and now I'm in management. How do I use this spark? What are the things I'm trying to do with it? We already talked about being aware of your surroundings, and I think that's I think the trappings of that are pretty obvious. But how do I increase the spark? What do I do with the spark?
And what I think is interesting to add to this discussion is, you know, when you transition and start working, I think the normal behavior is to wonder, right, what stays in the Marine Corps and what carries over with me. And I would say absolutely the leadership skills that you've been developing need to carry over with you. And so I would say that be mindful of that. Like, don't try to hide those because they're valuable, especially if you're not seeing them expressed by other managers in an organization. That's a need that you definitely could fill, whether it's, you know, working in a manufacturing plant and you're supervising, you know, a shift, or whether it's, you know, being in a professional environment and, you know, white collar environment and you're now leading a group. Those types of skills are highly valuable. So don't conform, because I think that there's a lot of pressure to conform your style to what you see as popular among other colleagues. And so I would say embrace that leadership skills. And then I would also hone in on how do you spark and how do you really influence an environment? I would say focus in on the service-based leadership components that you learned in your, you know, in the Marine Corps. Take care of your team. Just take care of them. Maybe in a business environment, you wouldn't sit down with your most junior person and walk through their bank account with them or go to the, you know, car lot to help them pick out a car and negotiate a sale and, you know, really make sure they're not getting screwed in the details. So you may not go to that extent when you're, you know, working in a professional or, you know, semi-professional environment, but those same type of caretaking skills are equally as valuable. That's how you build loyalty. That's how you, you know, really create that, you know, transition that group environment into a team environment. And so simple things like getting involved in your team members' lives, understanding their family, knowing who their spouses are, their family situations. That doesn't happen enough in business environments, at least the ones that I've observed, but those are the exact type of skills that, you know, are highly valued. And so I'd say start there.
I'll give you a small example. Tell me what you think. My oldest daughter's 23. She's a manager at Forever 21.
Mm-hmm.
And so she's, I think, the youngest manager, I think, in the Los Angeles area. So, and she's very proud of that. So one night she got home late. I said, why home so late? And she said, well, I waited with one of my employees whose ride was coming, but I didn't want to leave till they left. I said,
yeah.
And I looked at her and I said, really? She said, yeah. And I said, Catherine, I said, do you know what kind of loyalty that creates in people that you work with and that are your subordinates when you go out of your way to care about them? And she just looked at me. She said, well, I just thought it was the right thing to do. I said, it's absolutely the right thing to do. I said, and that's a great instinct because when would you want to be sitting in that parking lot by yourself late at night? She said, no, that's why I stay. And I said, you know what? The more things that you can do like that, the better employees that they'll be because you care about them. And the more ways you communicate that, the easier you make your life as a leader slash manager. And those are kind of the things that you're talking about, Angie, in terms of, you know, we spend a lot of time in the Marine Corps caring about Marines and making sure they know that. And whether it's help, you know, reviewing a, you know, a loan on a car to make sure that the first time they do it, they don't get screwed, or any number of other things. Those are the kind of things we do. So they do translate.
Oh, absolutely. And they don't happen enough
right.
In, you know, the business environment. And, you know, right now, a lot of my clients are saying, oh my gosh, we've got retention issues. We've got retention issues. And I was talking to a supervisor of a team of five and he goes, oh yeah, my team, gosh, there's no morale. It's so low. They hate the company, blah, blah, blah. I said, they don't hate the company. They hate you.
Yikes. Did you drop that one on them?
Yeah, it just like it was just astonishing to me. If they have no morale and they hate their company, what they're really saying is that's a reflection of your leadership, dude. And he's like, oh, he was so pissed at me. And he's like, no, that's not what I'm saying. I'm like, okay, then help. I'll give you some more time to help better explain to me the situation. And it was just one of those things. I mean, like, to me, that's troop leading 101. I mean, how your team feels is a direct reflection of your leadership style. So if people feel disloyal, disengaged, unhappy, that's because you're not doing your job, leader or manager or supervisor.
How did that work out?
Oh, he quit.
Nice. There you go.
It didn't take him too long to realize. I mean, I don't know that he realized. In his mind, you know, I don't know that he ever got it. In his mind, he might have said, oh, this company doesn't support me. But the reality is that he was ruining a job experience for 5 to 6 people.
Interesting. Email. Hey, Mac, I looked up Spark, and I'm curious. The spark is in a jar with a lid on it. Is there a reason for that?
Yeah, you know, there is, and it's kind of funny. Thank you for noticing those types of details, because really there should be no lid, right?
Right. It should be this spark and this explosion of something. I'm not sure what.
So it was explained to us that graphics was having challenges recreating that, and that when they did recreate it, it didn't print well. So they really hoped that the jar would be enough to ignite that impression of spark. And you know what? The first book that Courtney and I wrote was called Leading from the Front, and we hated the cover so much, and we fought with our publisher about it, that the second time around, we're like, whatever, just go with it, because it was good enough. It was one of those.
Right.
If we've got it this far, I suppose we shouldn't have settled, but you're right. That is a fatal flaw of the cover. I was hoping it would be like a can of whoop-ass, maybe. All you have to do is, like, unleash the jar lid, and there you go.
Yeah.
But thanks for holding us accountable.
No. It's just it's interesting question.
It's an honest question. I appreciate it. We had the same concerns.
Another email. Hey, Mac, I'm curious. Does Angie do most of her work with end users, being supervisors and managers, or does she do most of her work with human resources people? Because in my opinion, if you have ass clowns in the HR section, good God, you get nothing but idiots. And no matter how much lipstick you put on a pig, at the end of the day, we all know it's a pig with lipstick on it. Angie, most of your work with end users or HR people, or do you do both?
Mostly, actually, senior business leaders.
Okay.
So our ideal client is like a small to mid-sized business, you know, ranging from 50 to, you know, 500 million in revenue. And we like to work with the president and their team because to whoever wrote to their point, you know, if you bring us in and you don't have executive level buy-in, it's just going to be a fun day of training, and then people go back to their crappy work environments with their poor supervisors, and it doesn't really do anything. They might feel good for 4 days. We call this sunburn training. You know, it'll last for 4 days, but then after that, nothing comes out of the investment of learning and development. So we like to work with senior leaders and then work on down to the front line just so we can get organizational buy-in, because we've all been there, right? I mean, your manager or supervisor can only protect you so much from the craziness going on at the top of the company, and we like to make change affecting at the top, if that makes sense.
No, it makes absolute sense. My guest, Angie Morgan, her company called Lead Star, we're talking about the spark that she's written about, along with Courtney Lynch. Who's Sean Lynch?
It is not Courtney's husband. I'll say that. Courtney actually married a really cool Navy veteran.
Oh, my God.
Who had a brother who was an Air Force veteran. So he is the Air Force guy.
He's the Air Force guy.
And we let him know that.
So he,
only because we're jealous.
Now that we understand what the spark is, is the spark something that you think is essential to being a better manager? Because to me, what I've heard you say is, hey, look, other than some of the delivery mechanisms, everything that you learned in the Marine Corps translates to the civilian sector. You know, now we have to, you know, we have to go get a nice suit and we have to learn about appropriateness. And then I think the last time you were here, you said, you know, that when they ask you a question about what was Afghanistan like, they don't want to hear the gory truth. They just like to hear, you know, some anecdotal funny stuff. So we all need to remember that. But that spark and those experiences all translate, it seemed like, exceedingly well because of the laboratory of leadership that we grow up in. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think it's a very fair assessment. I'd love to ask your listeners, too. I'd love to hear if spark is, like, too feminine of a concept. I'm kind of curious about that. I think it makes sense. What do you think, Mac? Is spark a feminine concept?
I didn't get it. Maybe a little artsy. But no, not too feminine. I don't think. What else would it be? I mean, explosion. I don't know.
Another name.
We could. But no, I think that. No, I don't think. That wasn't what it connoted to me when I saw it. Spark is relatively a generic term. But as soon as you begin to talk about it, it's apparent, because we all know people in our lives like that who changed our life, and they do have this element, this spark, this thing that ignites whatever kind of energy in the room. Let me read you another email. Hey Mac, as a manager, I have struggled because of the perception, I think often about me, that as a Marine, I've had to go very, very far out of my way to be a normal human being so that people don't feel threatened or intimidated. Is this normal? I'm curious, Angie's experience, because I feel like I have to do a lot to really disarm people so I can have access to them, because when they heard that I was a Marine, they automatically assumed certain things. I was a supply guy. I was not a knuckle-dragging grunt, okay? But I'm being painted with that term. Wait a minute. What the hell was that?
I get it entirely, yeah.
So, Angie, is it normal that you have to almost overcompensate to be normal at first to get them to relax so that you don't reinforce stereotypes? And you do that so that you can have access to move them, not because you want to deny your lineage as a Marine.
Yeah, I mean, that is absolutely 100% normal. And in many ways, you know, at the heart of me, I would say, no, you know, people will accept you for who you are if you be authentic. But the reality is that there are a lot of stereotypes out there about Marines in particular, and our behaviors and how we show up. And I think that we do have to manage our styles. So I'm not going to say change our styles. I think we have to manage our styles to help invite people in to have those types of relationships. And I think that that's just something that common that just has to happen. And I feel that same exact way. You know, I think when you say a woman Marine is coming to speak to our group about leadership, you know, again, that's a there's a stereotype that gets conjured up in somebody's head.
Yeah. And unhappy.
Remember that gunny from Major Dad? Like, that's kind of impressive.
Exactly. You know who you are.
Who?
You know? You, like, immediately reacted to it. That's right.
I know. So you just have to, you know, you have to know that people have strong stereotypes about Marines in particular, and you want to, you know, counter them in the sense, because the stereotypes are often negative. Like, gosh, my boss is a Marine, and, you know, I'm anticipating that he's going to, you know, be very direct and harsh and bark at me. And so I think that, you know, it's one of those skills we all have to develop, is recognizing the stereotypes and, you know, inviting people in a warmer way, or spending a little bit more effort inviting people in to let them know that we're okay. That was a long way to answer your question.
We're okay!
Yes.
We are! We're good people! And everybody should love us!
Well, they should get to know us, because there's so few people in the business environment that have military service. And I feel in many ways a responsibility to be, you know, an ambassador for the Marine Corps in a positive way, to help people understand the value of military service. You hear from so many people, oh, I don't want my children doing that, or oh, I would never want my kids doing this. And I'm like, well, why not? It worked great for me.
Exactly. You can grow up and be an angry woman, too. Exactly. You can be a bitter chip on your shoulder woman, just like I am. Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
Exactly. Well, that's my daughter's. Oh, really? Yeah. Well, let me tell you something. Like, whoa, hey, wait a minute. Angie Morgan, my guest, here for a few more minutes. Angie, another email. Hey, Mac, I'm curious. Your last email earlier kind of hit on something that I experienced, and that was a bias for very few people in my section against me, because they thought that I was going to be too hard. I had to go out of my way to be nice, bring donuts, go out of my way to help them move stuff when they move stuff, and just do all these small personal things to show them that I was a good human being. Because had they sided against me, I think it would have caused me a real problem at the start of my employment, which I think ultimately would not have been good for me. So I think it's about conquering demons that a lot of people have. Sometimes it's just for military service. A lot of times, though, it is, you know, trying to overcompensate for that goddamn Lee Ermey, all right? Would somebody please tell them to stop playing Full Metal Jacket? It's killing us here in the private sector.
Even the perception that you're like
right.
2 seconds away from losing it, right?
Right.
That you're going to just flip out because you're that on the edge from what your experience, you know, perhaps especially overseas, has developed. And so, yeah, I think there needs to be. I would love to see some public service campaigns about what it's like to work with veterans and the truth about veterans transitioning, because we hear the negatives, we don't hear the positives, but who knows? I mean, with the prominent role, you know, Secretaries Mattis and Kelly are playing in the public space right now, I think that they're amazing ambassadors for the leadership and judgment and calm, cool demeanor of Marines in particular. I'm encouraged by that.
I'll tell you what, I think there's you're the Corps' best advertisement, and they are certainly that. Angie, give us one more piece of advice here about transitioning. I think the whole discussion about how to develop a spark. You know, it seems like the more and more that we talk, you know, one of the things that is we're so about, and it's kind of interesting because I'll link it to my next guest. Jennifer Carrazzo, which is we take care of our own, right? We don't leave them. We don't forget them. We own them forever. And that's a part of our culture. It's a huge part of our culture. If you bring that with you, if you show that kind of loyalty and that kind of care, I will tell you this, it trumps all, right? It trumps all, because they will notice, and I'll give you an example, an operational example. In Afghanistan, we medevaced a lot of kids who, you know, got burned with propane, who got burned with oil, who would have accidents because they worked for, you know, I mean, I remember an 8-year-old kid got his thumb ripped off in a machine accident working for on his dad's farm. And, you know, and we medevaced them. Now, no matter what anybody from the Taliban says about the Americans, when we medevac them and the father comes with them or an uncle comes with them and they stay with us for a week and they're allowed to worship and we take care of them and they come into the 21st century and they're treated with respect and then we take them back out, that is the best outreach, that is the best combined action platoon thing that we can do. And it's based on caring about people. And so to me, I think that, you know, I think, you know, there's certain qualities that if you project as a leader in the civilian world, it will blow them away because of they're just not, it's just not a part of the culture. As you said, they don't get that kind of training. I'm curious about your thoughts on that.
Yeah, and I think bringing them under the umbrella of service-based leadership is a great way to be ambassadors of our service.
What does that mean, service-based leadership?
So we have a whole chapter about it.
There you go. And you can find Spark on Amazon.com right now.
You can buy it anywhere books are sold, right? It's prioritizing others' needs before your own. And its absence in businesses is astonishing. And so in Spark, this is one of the most gross, I think, exaggerations of what service-based leadership is not, but it's one that in our consulting world that we observed. There was a group of, say, physicians, I don't want to reveal who they are, but each of them was making more than $200,000 a month. So if you can just stop for a second and imagine that.
Yes.
$200,000 a month. So they were, you know, millionaires
mm-hmm.
each year,
yeah.
Multimillionaires each year. They could not stop squabbling over who made the most and who was doing the most work and why they should get, like, a fraction their slice more each month than their colleagues, that they were starving their organization for leadership. So while they were fighting over pennies in comparison to their salary, what was missed was just the culture that they were trying to build in their team. Now, if you were working in this business and you overheard what your bosses were fighting over and you were making pennies in comparison too, how would you feel? And so we work with them to just rework compensation and focus on culture. And it was amazing. In a short period of time, the engagement and the morale that increased in this organization. And so I think, again, service is really just prioritizing other teams' needs, making time for them. It's listening. It's, you know, sharing the pie, growing the pie with people, not stealing the slice of pie and putting it in your pocket and not, you know, thinking that there's only scarcity, only so much pie there. So I think it's really about the behaviors. And, you know, in the Marines, it was, you know, officers eat last. And that was just the mantra. But we just looked out for each other. And I think if you could bring those practices into a business environment, and it can't just be once, right? Remember the donuts I brought on Tuesday 2 years ago? It's got to be consistent. There has to be some level of consistency with your service efforts. And it's not just, you know, the people you like. It's even the people you don't like, like that jerk who perhaps is on your team. How can you meet their needs? How can you have empathy towards what their life experience is? How can you build that relationship? How can you prioritize what's going on in their life and take the time to pull them into the team environment?
And a lot of times, when you care about somebody, right, when you go out of their way for them, you know, that's the start of changing attitudes and gaining access to them, which is the way you begin to move people. Interesting. It's called Spark. You can buy it anywhere books are sold, I'm told. Angie, always yeah. Enjoyed the conversation. I'm going to give you a call. We'll do it again in a few weeks. But appreciate your time today. And I will tell you this, you know, in listening, I think, you know, it's almost like, how would I say this? I'm gaining confidence in terms of listening to you, how to even talk to Marines about, hey, you don't need to be intimidated, you know. Don't be an idiot and talk about things you shouldn't talk about. They're not Marines. Don't treat them like it. But you have things that they need and they've never even experienced. And while you were talking about service-based leadership, I was remembering a time I was first lieutenant back in the day when we had Marine detachments, and I was on the USS Ranger, where, you know, in charge of guarding the nuclear weapons if they were ever on there, and also the physical security of the ship. So we're off the coast of Iran. We have Marines outside on the ship, man of 50 cals because of stuff going on. And I'm up in the combat operations center, and I miss dinner. And so I get off work at like 3 in the morning, and I go down to the ship store to get something to eat. But I'm off duty, right? I'm not working. Mm-hmm. So I get in line, and officers and chiefs and staff and COs have, right, front-of-the-line privileges. So I stand in line for about 15 minutes, and there's sailors, you know, in their dirty overalls, you know, doing maintenance on planes and things like that. And just filthy, you know, everybody worked, 14, 16 hours a day. And so after I stood in line for about 15 minutes, one of them turns around and says, you know, Lieutenant, you have headline privileges. And I said, and I'm standing in line, I said, yeah, I know. And with that, like a half a dozen head turn. And one of them says, why don't you use it? I would. I said, well, in the Marine Corps, we eat last. Okay. In this line, your time is just as valuable to me as my time. So I'll stand in line with you because I'm not on duty. If I were on duty, I'd cut in front because, you know, it would be something that, you know, was job related or something like that. But when I'm on my own time, your time is just as important to me. Now, like another three heads turned. The Navy doesn't believe that. In the Navy, its rank has its privileges.
Mm-hmm.
I said, the Marine Corps is different. You're just as important, arguably more important than me. And you need to know that by the way I conduct myself. And then one of them says, I knew I should have joined the goddamn Marine Corps. But it was just it's a small example of the difference the difference that you make when you say that, hey, I'm no better than you, I'll help you, I'm here with you, you're important to me. And I don't think there's anything more important in, or any way you get gain access quicker than to show people that they mean something to you. And we come from a culture that does that. And so as opposed to being intimidated by the civilian world, I think you should be excited for what you can contribute in ways that they haven't experienced it, and put yourself in a position to do exactly that. And then,
and I think it goes back to extending and just being able to extend. And if I could ask any listener too, if you've got good examples of service-based leadership, please, you know, on our website, leadstar.us, send them my way. I always collect these stories and always look forward to sharing them. So again, it's, my email address is amorgan@leadstar.us. Happy to hear from you.
All right.
Look forward to hearing your stories, because I want to promote what I think the Marine Corps does better than any other branch of service and any other organization out there.
All right. The book is called Spark. The website, leadstar.us. And her name is Angie Morgan, Captain, United States Marine Corps. And Angie, first of all, thanks for doing this. All
Thank
the best.
You.
And we'll do it again.
I hope so. Thanks.
All right. You bet. Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right, there she is. You know what? I love that stuff. We're going to take a quick break. This hour of All Marine Radio brought to you by our friends at Battle Mug, home of the Battle Mug itself. You can find the entire line of products at battlemug.com. Starts with a 10-pound block of aluminum. After they mill, machine, and anodize it, they put a serial number on it. They can engrave it for you. Mine has the blue diamond of the 1st Marine Division on it. Very cool. And with Picatinny rails, you can mount Eagle Globe and Anchor, flags, stuff like that. Or if you're going to the field, scopes, lasers, and lights. What would you buy it for? Commemorative events. Farewells, promotions, retirements, all that kind of good stuff. Birthdays, anniversaries. It's a very cool gift, one that everybody ought to have. Anyway, go to battlemug.com. Use the promo code Marine for 15% off. It's a veteran-owned and operated company, and the products made entirely in the United States of America. All right, when we come back, we are going to talk to the founder of an organization called the Sugar Bear Foundation, and her name is Jennifer Carrazzo, and her husband was killed in Afghanistan in 2010, and so we're going to talk to her about her life. She and I actually went to the same college. I did my undergrad. She did graduate work there, so I don't know if that makes her better than me. I don't think it does, but she might. The University of San Diego. And so we'll talk about her, her life, and her foundation. And take your questions. So more of All Marine Radio on a Tuesday, coming up next on the All Warrior Radio Network.
MilitaryByOwner.com is an excellent resource for any military family moving to a new area. We found a ton of homes to choose from and purchased a house 8 days later. This was the only site I used. Thanks, Military by Owner.
Are you PCSing? Do you need to find a home near a military base quickly? With over 45,000 listings and 15 years of experience helping military families find, sell, or rent their home near a military base, MilitaryByOwner.com can help. Military by Owner, proven and dependable.
My name is Juan Perez, Jr. I joined the military in 98. I commissioned as an officer. But I always had in mind the idea that I would go into the special operations community, particularly special forces. I was accepted to go into selection, and I attended on September 8th of 2001. As I was making my departure out of the military, there was that uncertainty. What do I do next? How do I repurpose my skills in a way that's not only meaningful to me, but also that provides for my family and provides an increase in our a way of living, a quality of life. The Global South Foundation has resources when it comes to anything from building resumes to how to relate to a CEO in conversation, how to basically, again, repurpose that which I had learned in a career in special operations, dealing at the strategic and operational level. How do I take that and then turn it towards entrepreneurial spirit into business development? And how do I translate that so somebody can see that value? And in doing so, I landed a magnificent and very rewarding career. I'm the VP of operations for an IT company called BuildSourced. What I say to veterans getting out, be bold when you go to network. Go out to the Global South website, look at what events they have lined up, attend those events, you know, and participate. A lot of the events they hold, they're of key importance in this network. Go out there and engage, just like you would engage in a combat zone, you know, when you're networking there. with folks that don't share necessarily your language, your culture, or your background, and yet we still make it happen. How can we not make it happen here?
The Global Soft Foundation is a great partner of All Marine Radio. Find out more about them at globalsoftfoundation.org/Marines.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Life in the military is one of service and sacrifice. For some, that sacrifice includes physical and mental injuries or trauma that will affect their lives forever. Please join with the American Legion in recognizing and supporting our wounded warriors and their families. We need to show them that we truly are a grateful nation. We cannot allow them to be forgotten and left to fend for themselves.
This is U.S. Navy and Marine Corps veteran Montel Williams. During my 22 years of military service, I had the honor of working beside many brave service women. They are the fastest growing population of veterans, and they can be a great asset to your company. Women veterans are trained to take initiative, adapt to change, and they're quick to learn. If you're an employer or a woman veteran, call the U.S. Department of Labor at 866-487-2365 or visit careeronestop.org.